Dear radio listeners, perhaps when you heard our announcer give the topic today, you thought that a mistake had been made. Nursing fathers. You probably thought, well, maybe he means nurturing fathers. That's certainly a biblical expression, Ephesians 6, verse 4. Fathers, nurture them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But it's no mistake. It's very deliberate. The title of our message today is Nursing Fathers. For the inspired Apostle Paul equates all the tenderness, love, and travail of a nursing mother to fatherhood. He does that in 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 7 through 12. And God, through him, is teaching us that the qualities of a good nurse and the work of a nursing mother of little children and the tenderness required, all of these are indispensable requirements of a biblical, godly, covenant father. The passage that I'm referring to, 1 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 12, if you would read that passage, I trust you would become aware that it was a biographical account of Paul's ministry among the infant church at Thessalonica. And in the course of reminding the Thessalonians how he, the Apostle Paul, had labored among them, he uses the figure of family relations. He uses some striking ones. In verse 7, we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. And again, verse 11, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Now, obviously, the primary focus of the passage I'm referring to does indeed have to do with Paul and his companions' ministry among the Thessalonians. If you were to ask me for a chapter in the Bible which sets forth how a minister is to do his work in the church of God, I would point you to this chapter, 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12. But you cannot help but notice, if you read the chapter, that as Paul describes his work as a minister, he compares it to the work of a father in his own household. And so the word of God comes to you as a father. When the inspired Apostle Paul describes what he was and what he did as a spiritual father to the church, he is also setting down the truth of what we are to be as fathers in our own homes. And so, passing from the primary focus of the passage, I want to draw from it what a covenant, godly father is. But this is applicable to everyone who is listening, whether you are a father or not, or whether you never will be a father. You may be listening today, and fatherhood is as far from your thoughts as day from night. And yet the truth of a biblical father is vitally important to you, no matter who you are. It's important to you as a father, obviously. This is God's word, a word that he speaks to you, a word of direction and correction and encouragement. It's a word to you as a wife and a mother. You are to be a helpmeet to him. And therefore, you must not simply hear the word of God to have ammunition to criticize your husband. But when you understand what God calls him to be as a husband and now as a father of your children, and knowing his sins and inability, you are now more able to support and to pray and to aid him that he may be exactly this kind of a father, a nursing father. This is very applicable to you as a teenager, and I pray that this word of God may come and exercise a powerful influence upon your life as a teenager and as perhaps a college student, and will prepare you for marriage. This is a word that's important for young men. This is the instruction of God's word to mold you into the kind of man, God's man, and someday a godly father. You must not be molded by the world. The world says, oh, yes, a father, he's someone who's there for me on the weekends, He's divorced my mother, and occasionally I see him, and we have this relationship. That's not a father. The Word of God teaches us what a father is. And this is important for you as girls, that you listen carefully. What kind of man will be the father of your children? Is that important to you? It has very much to say to all of us. Consider with me today, nursing fathers. What is the fundamental grace from God required of a father? The passage that I'm referring to would answer love. This passage contains some amazing statements. We might say some contrasting or clashing ideas. Paul says that he was a spiritual father to the Thessalonians, and as a spiritual father, he showed the traits of a gentle, loving nurse. And we'd say, isn't that a mixture of ideas? A strong, assertive father who has the gentle tenderness of a nursing mother? But that's exactly what God's Word says. Verse 7 of the passage, 1 Thessalonians 2:7, we were gentle among you as a nurse cherisheth her children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear to us. And then in verse 8, or rather verse 11, as ye know, we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. The Word of God is teaching us that the grace above all others which caused Paul to act as a father to the Thessalonian believers was the grace of intense, sensitive, self-giving love of God. So being affectionately desirous of you, that is, desiring you with great love, because ye were loved of us, we behaved ourselves gently as a nurse. Now notice how this love was shown. First of all, it was shown in a gentle bearing, as a nurse. It's the picture of a woman who so loves babies that she gives herself to wet nurse other people's children. She so loves them that she will give herself to sustain them. Paul says, in my calling to be the spiritual father of the Thessalonians, I came with authority. I came with boldness. I came with the teaching of the Word of God. If you read the first four verses, the apostle emphasizes that. But then he goes on to say, but all of that was mixed with an intense, self-giving love shown in a tender bearing. As a father, I exhorted, I comforted, I charged. The work of the ministry in Thessalonica was a difficult work for the apostle Paul. And Paul faithfully labored in the firmness and authority of the Word of God with the Thessalonians. He was no namby-pamby minister who sat around and let the spiritual household of Thessalonica go to pot. No, he was a father, a spiritual father who had a clear understanding of the Word of God, of the situation and the sins of the people of God. He knew what was needed, and he brought the Word of God. Yet he says his bearing was still that of a tender nurse. What is it that makes a man responsible for his household, a leader of his household, firm for his household, and yet loving his household? It's the love of God in Jesus Christ, that gentle, tender love. The apostle goes on to say that that love was shown in selfless disposition. So, being affectionately desirous of you, he says in verse 8, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear to us. Technically speaking, the apostle says that all that was required of him as a minister was to speak the gospel in all its integrity. He says in verse 4, but we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth the heart. But Paul says, I went beyond the minimum requirement of simply teaching and giving the gospel. But I was ready to go beyond and impart my very soul. His heart was baptized with a love that was selfless and that was shown in intense labor among the Thessalonian believers. Verse 9, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail. For laboring day and night, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Paul worked. It was travail. Not something a person absorbed in their own comfort would endure. But what caused him to so give himself? Well, it was the essential grace necessary for a father. The love of God. Intense. Selfless. Love of God. Now, fathers, standing as king and queen over every other grace from God, we need, if we are to be fathers, the love of God. Whatever else we need wisdom, we need faithfulness to God's word, we need patience, we need strength and steadfastness. Yes, but this is essential. We need the love of God. Without this love of God abounding in your heart, you cannot fulfill your calling. What is that which is essential to fatherhood? Well, the Bible is clear. Intense, self-denying, gentle, Spirit-worked love of God. Without that love, you will not be willing to pay the price to be the head of your household. Only in the love of God will you deny yourself willingly and joyfully many things of your own time, your own pleasure. You will set your own time and your own pleasure apart and aside. You won't insist upon it if you have the love of God for your home. Only with this grace will you work to know your children. You will set up communication with your children from the very first day. You will listen to your children. You will give yourself to pray for your children. You will talk with your children. Only with this grace will you continue when you meet snags, and you will meet snags as a father. You will endure, you will come to problems, problems with your own children, and some problems are great, and you will say, I can't break through. Only with the love of God will you continue. Only with this love will you desire to do more than just the technical requirement of being a father. The technical requirement? Put bread on the table. But only in this love of God will you go far beyond and give your very soul for your children. You and I need this essential grace of love if we are to be biblical fathers. Without this, we will not discipline our children. Or if we do discipline them, we will discipline them out of a sinful irritation, anger, or resentment. Without this love of God, your discipline will not be wise, thought out, consistent. It means, if you are to be a father, it means that you must deny yourself and work in the love of God for your children and family. Then you might need to be ignorant of who won the ball game Saturday, because you needed that time to study the book of Proverbs and to pray and to spend time with your children. Not time in front of the television, but time with your children. Fathers, we need hearts that are baptized in the love of God. The apostle says, so being affectionately desirous, we were ready to impart our very souls to you. Now, that's radical language in our age. Our age of no commitment relationships. Our age of no strings attached, one weekend stand relationships. Our age which says you must assert your own rights. An age in which you and I live, a sinful age. God says, you, man of God, as a father of your children, You must be committed that you live not for yourself, but you live with an intense, self-giving, gentle love, firm in the Word of God, but the love for your child as a nurse cherisheth her children. That's God's Word. I want to press that upon you as a father, first of all. How much do you know of that love? Can you say, as Paul did in verse 7, but we were gentle among you, as a nurse cherisheth her children? Do your children know you as a firm, real father? Yes, a father who brings them up in the way of the Lord. But do they also know the gentle, loving tenderness of a believing father? I'm not asking if you're sinfully pliable. You must not be a glob of backdowns because your children have learned to manipulate you by their tears. No, fathers, bring them up in the way of the Lord. Yet, and not contrasting this call, at the same time, you must have the gentleness, the love of God for your children. Yes, fathers who are permissive and neglectful, they are shameful fathers, but also fathers who are all stone and no heart, who run their household by the book. They run their home like a boot camp, and they're bringing up a bunch of little Marines. No, not compromising your call to bring them up in the way of the Lord and to correct and to discipline them at the same time. God says they have to know, your children have to know, you love them in a selfless love of God. Let me ask you, fathers, are you becoming choked with the things of this life? Do you give all of your energy and time to your business, to your riches, and to the pleasures of this life, so that there's no time left, no energy left over? You find yourself exhausted, and you don't have any time for your kids. Do your children exist for your ego? To make you look good? Fathers, you yell at your son because he struck out in the ninth with runners on base? You yell at your daughter because she didn't get an A? You drive your child beyond reason because you want that child to reflect well on you? And what about the labor that the Apostle Paul mentions? Intense labor, or do we leave all the labor that goes into bringing up children to mama, to your wife? Ephesians 6 verse 4, fathers, nurture them. Or do you say, look, I put in my 9 to 10 hours at the office, now I'm going to relax at home. Listen, man, you put in 9 to 10 hours in the office, so did your wife at home. You need to relax, so does your wife. We have just so many hours, so many years. When our sons and daughters will be at home, it goes very fast, and then it's done. And when it's done, it's done. In love of God, you must give yourself now for your children. Young girls, I have something to say to you. What are you looking for in a husband? Pretty face? Money? Carved jaw? Thick hairline? A car? Or are you looking for a man whose heart knows something of the love of God in Christ Jesus? Listen to me. That man who loves the Lord God in Jesus Christ may be only 5'5" and weigh 125 pounds soaking wet and a little lumpy and out of shape and maybe balding. But if the love of God and the Word of God are his bread and drink, I tell you, 15 years from now, after you have married him, you will be thankful to God as you sit at the table with him, with your children, and then your teenage children, and the family can say, Lord, thanks for the grace of love in a father who loved me as a picture of my heavenly Father. And I tell you, young girls, that if you marry a man who does not have these things, this love of God, a man who's simply interested in your body, and he's built like Adonis, and he's as rich as Donald Trump, and he's muscular and all the rest, I tell you, 15 years from now, after you marry him, you will weep. Because your sons will be like him. And I tell you, young girls, a ring on his finger is not going to change him. Young men, what are you cultivating? Maybe you pump iron. It's good to take care of your body. That's fine. Don't make a god of it. You say, I work hard. I'm going to get ahead. I hold a good job. I'm going to succeed. Good. But here's the question that's much more important. What are you doing to cut the cord of your selfish, self-centered self, of your lust, of your selfishness? And what are you doing to build yourself up in the love of God? What kind of a man are you going to be to your children? How vital that we hear this word of God and that we pray from our hearts, Father in heaven, make me a father filled with thy word and filled with the love of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, bless thy word to our hearts this day. Bless our fathers and cause them through thy word to be indeed a covenant, godly father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.